Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
There was some great news this week for Irish director Rachel Carey because her feature debut film Deadly Cuts was sold to distributors in the United States, Australia, Spain and South Africa and is due to make its international debut just in time for Patrick's Day. It's a dark comedy about a group of hairdressers in a salon which is being targeted by a local gang. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little bit of a blast for now if I can find it. Here it is here. Yeah, this is Deadly Clips. And I can't move this thing properly. Here it is.
Hello, Deadly Cuts. This is Michelle.
You're late, Chantel.
I had to walk the long way because Dino said that he was going to shave my head.
Oh, for God's sake, Chantel.
I heard that he'd done it to Laura Martin and I had like a bleeding Maltese.
No, Dino robs half his takings every morning. Protection, he calls it.
Wish his dad had he used protection.
I was rushing around my Nick Cave there all the time. I did say Deadly Clips, didn't I? Sorry, Deadly Cuts. Anyway, it's also released on Netflix for those who haven't seen it, so I'm sure a lot of you have actually over the last while. And it spent all week in the top 10 list on the platform. That's why I know you've all seen it. Good news all around for Rachel Carey, who joins me now. Rachel, how are you doing? First of all, congratulations. Well done.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're absolutely delighted with the response. It's going down really well.
I'd say you are. In fact, I must talk to you about who all that is. So, first of all, for those who haven't had the opportunity to see the movie yet, give us a quick rundown. I mean, I said dark comedy, hairdressers, salon, targeted local gang. Give us a bit more, will you?
So it's set in the fictional working class suburb of Piglandstown, where there's a small local salon, and the area is being tormented by a gang, and the girls are enrolled in this high-end hairdressing competition at the same time, and everything sort of ends up becoming part of the same issue, and the girls become accidental vigilantes one night when things escalate with the gang, and then they have to go on and try and win this hair competition with this incident hanging over their heads. But it's all with a view to trying to save the salon and the whole area from redevelopment. Something we're all very familiar with in Dublin at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how much of it is you. I mean, like, first of all, let's start with the hairdresser bit. Like, why is that there? Did you ever work in one?
I did briefly. Oh. Like, that's probably not why I made it, but I did. I worked in a Peter Marks as a receptionist for a few years after college. And I think I got a flavour of it there. But honestly, I think I more got a sense of the salon life as a client. Like, I go get my hair blow dried all the time, and I'd often go to kind of the smaller little salons. And, you know, I knew for a long time that I wanted to make a Dublin comedy featuring, like, young working class women, because I just thought that voice was nowhere, and it's so funny, and we were long overdue it. And then the hairdressing setting was just too easy. You know, I'm not the first to do it in the hairdressing, so the setting was just ideal, really. And then it was about building the story around it.
Yeah, they say, like, a hairdresser is a bit like kind of confession of years ago, isn't it? People say the weirdest things because they know that you're over their head with the big scissors or whatever. I mean, like, for instance, when you were sitting there ever getting anything done, were you taking notes?
Sometimes. I mean, not directly. There'd be an idea or two I'd pick up directly in some of the smaller salons. You'd just hear amazing exchanges, but it'd be more the vibe in general that I was kind of soaking up, and the sense of community you get in a lot of them. Like, you know, in Deadly Cuts, you've got the sort of older ladies, the L ones, who are, you know, big figures in the community. And I saw that in a lot of salons. Like, there's one in Ballymun that I would go to. Shout out to Louise in Image. It's a brilliant salon. And you would have older ladies sitting in there. They bring their own tea bags. They bring their knitting. And, you know, and just the chats would be going on with everybody who happened to be in the salon, myself included. And so it was more that kind of sense of just fun, excitement. And I think it's more trust than the threat of the scissors hanging over you, hopefully. But yeah, people say a lot of things and a lot of different and debris. You're sitting there a long time, so people will talk when they have the time.
I'm just thinking, do I remember, did I dream? Was there an RT programme on TV a few years back of people in getting their hair cut in salons?
There was, as far as I know.
There
actually
was, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think it was called The Salon or something, a reality show, yeah.
Yeah, one of those kind of things, yeah. Okay, so how does it feel, by the way, to know that your movie is, how shall I put it, it's going international?
It is more international than now. It's in the UK now in Ireland, but yeah, it's going to the big guns. It is equal parts exciting and terrifying. It's amazing. I mean, I think it's just such an unapologetically Dublin film, you know, very deliberately so. You know, the accents aren't toned down. It's, you know, it's fast. It's a little bit crude at times. And so I'm just really excited about those kind of audiences seeing Dublin comedy for whatever it is.
Unapologetically Irish it is. But I mean, like, do you remember Unapologetically Irish and Angeline Ball 30 years ago? That one travelled, called The Commitments.
It did, indeed, yeah. People may have heard of that one. But isn't it gas how that's nearly the last reference we have, you know? That's 30 years
Well, this
ago.
Is the point. This is the one big point I was going to make. They don't make him like this anymore. There's a lot of... In fact, there's another movie on Netflix at the moment. Oh, my God, I've forgotten the title of it. The one with Anthony Hopkins and Fracture. It's called Fracture. And like, it's from a long time ago, but they've just put it up there now and people are watching it. I only watched it recently. It's from about 2007. And it's like a good old... Like, they just don't make movies like they used to make movies a lot of the time. We could have that discussion forever. But this kind of movie here, they don't make this 90-minute, really fun, within a community, off you go, there it is kind of movie. And did you feel that, like... You know, it's all like, I mean, for instance, the Oscars in the last few years have been taken over by the indies. I mean, seriously, you know, like, so do you think, like, there's room for something like to get back to this, if you like?
I think so, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we just happened to coincide our release with, you know, a global pandemic at a time when people really needed a laugh, you know. And I think, particularly in Dublin, I think we were long overdue, just a broad comedy. Yeah. There's been great Dublin films, you know, Dates of Mad Mary, Dublin Old School. There's been great Dublin films, but there hasn't been a broad comedy. And sometimes people, I've heard people kind of mention Deadly Cuts and say it's broad in an almost sort of like, you know, it's not a good thing. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with just wanting to make people laugh and, you know, having a good old yarn? And, you know, it's still about something. But I think the reception to it has really shown that people like that kind of thing. And, you know, we want to be entertained and that's what films...
Yeah, but I mean, if anybody was trying to tell you that something like this wouldn't travel, I mean, the wit and the one-liners will make sure that it does travel, and that's really what it's all about. When you were making the movie, did you have the idea that it might be sold abroad in mind?
No, not directly. I think if you go about making something with that in your head, it can kind of hamper you. And actually it was because, as I said before, the authenticity was really key for me. Like, I really wanted it to be real accents, nothing slowed down, nothing compromised in that regard. And there were a few arguments along the way, good-natured arguments, you know, with, you know, people involved who said, you know, we're not going to be able to understand what they're saying. What about an American audience? But I think if I'd done that, it would have cost the film, the humour, everything about it would have been compromised, I think. And I think at this stage of television and film, and we're such sort of sophisticated viewers at this stage, I think people can appreciate an authentic accent wherever it's from, you know? So it was on my mind, but not in a way that influenced the creative process.
I've just watched a 3-hour Japanese movie the other night. It's called Drive My Car, and it's pretty damn good.
It's amazing.
Have you seen it? Yeah, because you really have to get into it. Like, it takes a bit of time, but anyway, and it works fine for me. Like, so people are like, you can use the word sophisticated, but people are open to whatever happens to be. So basically, this movie is really Irish, made for an Irish audience, but it'll work everywhere. So the international audience, what do you think they'll make of the Dublin accents and the slang? Because, like, I mean, when I look at the Angeline Ball, when I look at The Commitments, I'm not sure if I remember 100%, but I think when The Commitments was shown in America, I think they might have had subtitles.
Yeah, I think there was, and I think I'm not sure if it's just a myth, but there was some sort of a glossary given to people. So yeah, I think there's definitely words in there. Like, apparently, I haven't watched it with the subtitles on Netflix, but apparently it's quite funny.
Hold on a second. There are subtitles on Netflix, are there?
You can turn them on.
Oh, right, of course. Right, okay.
Yeah. You can turn them on.
Wow.
I mean, I think they'll follow the gist of it. I think that the accent will be so fast. There'll be some words that are new to them, I would imagine. But I think, they may have to turn subtitles on. It's screened at a couple of festivals in America already, and I know... Well, what's gas is my friend's father-in-law in County Clare. She texted me the other day. He had to turn the subtitles on. So, you know... Never mind America.
Ah, yeah,
so
they
might have to, but that's all right.
Yeah, different parts of Ireland. I can understand that. Okay, so by the way, we're talking to Rachel Carey. We're talking about Deadly Cuts, the movie now going global, Netflix and all the rest of it. But the big question probably is, who's Rachel Carey? Where'd you get the money? I mean, like, how'd you get it off the ground, Rachel?
Well, it certainly wasn't my own money, I can tell you that much. How did I get it off the ground? So I had, my background's actually advertising, but I've been making short films as well. And the film got picked up. I had the idea. I'd done loads of bits and pieces. And then I pitched the idea at the Galway Film Flat a few years back. They do a pitching contest where you can go with an idea and presented. And it was there that I met Aveen Lush, who became the producer of Deadly Cuts. And we had a drink afterwards, which is how all things get done in Ireland, you know. And they optioned it. So it, from there, it just went into a kind of 2-year process of development of, you know, developing the script of, you know, meeting with Screen Ireland and ultimately getting them on board, which happened quite soon, which was great. They were really supportive. And then, I mean, there's only so much I can kind of really understand about this, the funding process, but it goes into a process then of kind of pulling together the full figure to get it made. And yeah, then that's not really explained very well.
No, it has. That's explained very well. But I'll tell you what you could explain, because earlier on we were talking about music and the different genres of music and all the ways you kind of have to categorise and what kind of music is that and is it country and is it rock and all the rest of it. But in this here, like, is this a violent black comedy or is it a big-hearted romp about hairdressers?
Ooh, good question. I just call it a black comedy, I think, is what I call it. I think it's got both. I mean, I don't think it's very dark. And
no.
I quite deliberately, you know, there's no sort of over-the-top violence or, you know, gratuitous sort of gore or anything like that. I never wanted to do that, you know. And I absolutely think it's full of heart, and that was really important to me to
Right. Okay, the word heart is important to you here, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, for instance, the local businesses, and certainly one like this, is the beating heart of the community for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think everyone in Ireland, and most kind of Western countries can, you know, we all know the row of shops, you know,
yeah.
in the suburb
yeah.
that has the butcher, the chipper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good line in the movie. You know, a couple of Kardashians. Well, we're next door to a butcher's.
Yeah. yeah, which most of those little local hairdressers are. And it is very much. And I think in a lot of parts of Dublin, that's kind of being destroyed. You know, I think we've all seen that, and you can see it in town, and you can see it in certain areas. And I think that's a real shame. So it was important to sort of make sure that part of the film was that sense of community and that sense of, and also working class areas tend to get portrayed on screen as nothing but the bad. You know, there's a bit of a habit of using them just to tell terrifying stories of murder and drugs. Now, not that I don't have murder in there, but we don't get to see what's positive about these areas and, you know, why these problems arise, I suppose. So without getting too deep on it, that was kind of important.
Well, actually, hold on, let me get a bit deep on it too, because The Guardian reviewed the movie and they said it's very Orton-esque. Now, would you know you're Joe Orton? Are you going, wait a minute, what? Sorry, really?
I didn't read most of the reviews. I didn't read them. I stayed away from it. So, no, I actually don't know what that is referring to.
Okay. By the way, there's one here. That's it. I've just remembered something. I was referring to a series, like you call it a reality show, which you're right about hairdressers. But there was another thing which I knew we even spoke about it on the programme. Abby Feelgood, and here's a text here from Paula. Abby Feelgood is a really good, funny documentary about rural hairdressers shown in 2020 on RT, and there's loads more. Yeah, I remember that. It was a really great documentary. It was about an hour long thing. Okay, let's get back to you then with this here. Like, you have the daft cop in a bit, you know, kind of, what was the big line? I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Nobody, no bother.
Yeah. You know what they say, nobody, no bother. Indeed, yeah. Now, but like, just one of the things you have in this is just about, you know, saving the community from developers. Was that an easy thing to throw into your story in terms of the fact that that's what people are quite very irate about?
I don't know if it was easy. It actually came quite late enough in the process, actually, that I put that in. And it was because it was always about kind of social problems and how sometimes, you know, the support isn't there from, say, the traditional structures or whatever. So people have to take things into their own hands. And then the redevelopment part came just, I suppose I absorbed what was going on in town. And then, you know, what happened in Ballymun, there's a great documentary called, I'm going to ruin this now. I think it's the fourth act or the third act. And I can't remember who made it, but about the redevelopment that happened in Ballymun and how corrupt it was and how it absolutely destroyed the community. And, you know, you could see what's going on in the Liberties and places like that. And I kind of wanted to say something about what's going on in Dublin today, in, you know, not without hammering people over the head with it, but I just thought it was important to have a sort of bigger issue to talk about in there. And it is invariably like these smaller communities or people from working class areas that tend to get bulldozed, literally, by these redevelopments and by plans like this when a city is gentrified. So, it kind of fit in quite nicely with the, as a bigger story behind the story, you know.
And what about you then, Rachel, with the success of this? What door has it possibly opened? What might be next? What's been green lit? What's been optioned? Or are you in development hell?
I am in development hell. Yeah, absolutely. On a few, there's a few plates spinning at the moment. So obviously, as everyone's kind of referenced, we are trying to make a series based off a spin-off series, a la Young Offenders, the amazing model.
Right.
So that's been kind of in the works for a while. So we're just trying to pull that properly together now. I do have another feature in development, which is another female ensemble comedy, but very different. I'm working with Thomas Kane Byrne, who's an amazing Dublin writer. He plays Kevin in the film. We're working on adapting.
Wow, so you're busy, in other words.
Yeah, I've actually loads. I mean, you kind of have to have, as a writer, you know, you have to have a few things in the work.
A few irons in the fire. Listen, we got to go as well, because I'm going to hand over to Stephen for the afternoon. So, Rachel, it's been a pleasure. Congratulations, and thank you very much indeed. It is called Deadly Cuts. It's there on Netflix. And by the way, like, you know, I did use the word violent earlier on. There is a bit of that, tiny bit. But, like, it's very charming. It's heartwarming. It is hilarious, and it is a bit dark. So, listen, Rachel, onwards and upwards. What a 22 you've got coming up. Thanks a
thank
million.
You
good
so
luck.
Much.
All right,
thanks,
take
Dave.
It easy.
Bye.
All right, bye. Take it easy.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.